Reading to you from 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and with the 15th verse. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Yesterday, I had a very unusual thing. I stopped and had a salad down at this restaurant, and this young lady, while she was waiting for my food, sat down and said, "I'll just visit." Well, boy, howdy. You know, she heard about Jesus. Oh, I had an opportunity to share Christ. Gave her my film, and I gave her a book. Friends, listen. Every day of our life, we can find people to witness to. There's people hungry to know what we have that makes us tick. Oh, friends. Well, listen. I want you to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and with the 9th verse. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear hath heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. We've labeled this heaven beyond our wildest dreams. Listen, friends. Creation shows the hand of the Creator. And the psalmist marveled at God's glory in the heavens in Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. You know, I introduced an artist to Christ many years ago while preaching a revival. And she was a painter. I mean, she painted pictures, oils. I want you to know that woman was super duper talented, and what beautiful work. But friends, there is no artist in all of this world that can paint a picture of a sunset or a sunrise like the hand of God. Oh, they try and they get close, but they'll never match His work in heaven. Now, waters of this world displayed their Maker's hands, and fields and flowers give but glimpses of His plan. But friends, heaven holds more wonders than we have ever known. You know, years ago when I was a director of the rescue mission at Grand Forks, North Dakota, the Red River was flooding. And, you know, finally after we moved, the Grand Forks flooded out, lost half the city. But it was been raining and raining and raining and raining. And one day I received a call from the University of North Dakota from a college girl. She said, "Preacher, I'm worried." I said, "What are you worried about?" She said, "Have you noticed the Red River is rising? And you notice it's been raining day and night. Do you suppose we can, the world's going to flood away?" I said, "Not according to the Bible." "What do you mean?" I said, "Lady, every time you see a rainbow in heaven, that's God's guarantee that He'll never destroy the world again by the flood." "Oh," well, she said, "do you believe that?" I said, "I believe this Bible from kiver to kiver." Oh, friends, if you don't believe the Bible, you're in a whole world of hurt. Now, we have never seen any place like heaven. You can't even describe it. We've never heard an adequate description of its beauty. Oh, we try to fathom it, but we cannot. Imagination staggers at the thought of what awaits us now. Questions like this calls for an answer about this eternal home. How can heaven be the home of sinners? Well, the answer is found in God's amazing grace. No one of us, not any one of us today, deserves to go to heaven. That you may not like to hear that, but we don't. Because we have the Adamic nature. Our forefathers sinned in the Garden of Eden, and because of that, man was cast out of the garden, and from this day forth, we have the old Adamic nature. And that nature is to sin. We don't want to sin against God, but we do. Every one of us does. Now, the Bible said what? We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I read in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, not even a one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Friends, you know what? Years ago when I was I was pastoring a church in Oregon, of course, I had to work every day to support my family. $100 a month wouldn't get it. I've never been overpaid, I don't think, as a pastor. But anyway, I was working for this law keeper. Now, this really happened. We went in a restaurant one day to eat, and he said, "You bow your head and pray to your God, and I'll bow my head and pray to my God." I looked at him like, this guy's got to be off in his shell. Only one God. But anyway, so his daughter accepted Christ one time. And, of course, you know, law keepers do not believe in accepting Christ. They believe, truly believe, that they're going to be righteous with God by the law. So anyway, I was putting on siding, and the boss was cutting siding for me, and I was knitting it up. And all of a sudden, I broke out, and I said, "Free from the law, oh, happy condition." "Oh," he said, "you're fired." Well, we who know Jesus are free from the law. But this poor man, this poor, simple man, and he paid before sun would go down. I mean, he really tried to live the law. I know people who actually try to live by the Ten Commandments. But even if you could, you can't get into heaven. Living by the Ten Commandments won't get you into heaven, because you must be born again. Now, each one of us have stumbled in the race. Now, according to the Bible, grace is unmerited favor made available by God's love. Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of righteousness, things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus told Nicodemus, and I'm going to tell you, and hardly ever do you ever hear me go through a message without quoting the scriptures about you must be born again. That's what the Bible said. Ye must be born again. And if you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. Oh, I know. Yeah, there's churches. Well, you just come and join my church. And you get baptized, and you give 10%, you give your tithe, and you're all right. Friends, there's millions and millions of people in America and the world who are deceived by those lies, lying preachers and priests and rabbis that tell you that. Because Jesus said, ye must. You will be born again or you won't go to heaven. Well, does this mean that all sins can be forgiven? Sure they can. God forgives our iniquities. And I read in Psalm 103, 1, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things, so my youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, friends, listen. You've done some terrible things, haven't you? Some of you are living in gross sin right now. You're not married. You're living with a woman, or she's living with you. You're living in gross sin. Now, I don't care whether you like it or not. That's the way the Bible reads. And he wants you to be married. That's right. So if you're shacking up, you're living in deep sin. Can God forgive that sin? Absolutely he can forgive. He forgives all our iniquities, according to the scriptures. Years ago, when I was going to Bible college, I introduced a man and a woman to Christ. They had three little children. And they come and joined our church, and they were doing fine. And one day I got a phone call from this man, and he said, preacher, I got to see you at my house tonight. I said, okay, I'll be down. I went down there, and she looked so sad, and he looked so sad. And I thought, shoot, they just gave their hearts to Christ a few days ago. Why are they so sad? And he said, preacher, we have a problem. Well, I said, what is your problem? Well, he said, my wife and I both asked Jesus to come into our heart and save us. I said, did you mean it? Yeah. Did he save you? Yeah. But he said, we can't live the way we're living anymore. And I said, what are you saying? Well, he said, this woman, the one I'm living with right now, was married to another man. And he was unfaithful, and he beat her, and this and that, and he ran off and did this and that. And so I wouldn't got her to come out here the West Coast. We've had three children. Now he says, we're living in sin, and we can't live this way anymore. Well, I said, there's a solution to this. First of all, you give me the name of the state and the city that you live, and I'll contact the courts there, and we'll see what we can do. Well, I contacted the courts. They said, well, yes, this woman was married to this man, and yes, it's been so many years, and so consequently she's not legally married to him anymore, according to the state here. I said, well, she's living with a man. Well, they said, she's free from that man as if he was dead. And so they got married, and she was as happy as could be. But see, friends, God forgave that sin because they did everything they could to make what happened right. And they did the right thing, and the Lord forgave them. You say, well, Cecil, I tell you what, I've done some terrible things. Well, so did I before I was a Christian. You know, an alcoholic are the biggest liars that most had ever lived. And instead of bringing home with my family and my wife, I'd be in a bar drinking and gambling and all that junk that goes with it. But when Jesus came into my heart, he took all that stuff away. He changed me in a twinkling of an eye. I no longer have that terrible guilt on my heart because he forgave all my sins. Grace means unmerited love. No, we don't deserve it, but God gives us. Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, his grace is sufficient for even sinful as you and I are. Yeah. How can one be sure of reaching heaven? Well, God has promised heaven to those who trust his Son. Now again, now I'm going to read it to you, Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourself. It is a gift, remember, gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Listen, if you are living the life that you're living right now, and you've never accepted Jesus, you've not been born again, and you stand before Jesus, and he's going to let you in because you haven't been born again. Well, I've had good works. I go to church. I give money. I read my Bible. I say my prayers. I belong to this nice church. Friends, that will not get you into heaven. It might sound mean, but you can't get into heaven by good works. Ye must be born again. Heaven is guaranteed by their new birth. And I read in John 3:3, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You say, well, it isn't my fault. Wait a minute. You and I are born again with the Adamic nature. And sin came into the world. God even destroyed the world by a flood because of the sinful nation that the world that we had in. Only 8 people come out of that flood. Noah was the man. They built that ark for 100 years. He preached, and he told them, someday there's going to be a flood. Now, I'm telling you, ye must be born again, according to the Scriptures. You say, well, I've been born physically. Sure, you've been born physically. That's the first birth. Without it, what do you need? Then he said, that's not enough, though. You must be born twice. You see, sin is a terrible thing. And it was your sins and my sins that put Jesus on the cross. Sin has to be paid for. You don't go to a football game without paying for it, do you? You got to buy a ticket. And you can't get into heaven without a ticket. What is that ticket? The blood of Jesus. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness and forgives our sins and writes our name in the Lamb Book of Life. Can you believe that? He writes his name in there in the precious blood of Jesus. That blood can't wash away. No, it won't wash away. Well, some people said, well, Cecil, I've been told by my priest or by my preacher or by my rabbi that if I get baptized, that will wash away my sins. Not going to happen. Beloved, there's not enough water in all the oceans and seas in the world that can wash away one sin from your soul. Not 1 ounce. But the blood, just 1 drop of blood, can wash away your sins. Now, heaven guarantees our new birth. And I read in John 3:3, I tell you the truth, except a man be born again. Then in John 3:4, how can a man be born again when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely I cannot enter a second time into my mother's womb to be born again. And Jesus said, well, if you're not born again, you can't see heaven. Listen, he spoke about the wind that bloweth. So it is with the Spirit of God, invisible. But the wind blows. Now, you cannot see the wind. You can see the evidence when the trees are swaying or the tumbleweeds are going, but you can't see the wind itself. So it is with the Spirit of God. Well, what does it mean to be born again? Well, this religious man, he asks all these questions about entering a second time in the mother womb, and he couldn't understand it. And Jesus said, are you a ruler of the Jews, and you do not know this simple place? Question. Now listen, remember, how did Nicodemus in the first place find out about this Jesus person? Well, I'll give you an example. He heard testimonies from converted Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which is a pretty top court in this land. But he didn't know how to get to heaven. Now, when he heard these testimonies, he began to scratch his head. Now, wait a minute. He said, I'm religious, but I don't have that, whatever it is, assurance or whatever you want to call it. I don't have it. And listen, friends, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit will give you assurance that you've passed from death unto life. It says in 1 John 5:13, this is written that ye may know that you have passed from death unto life. That's the assurance. You know. Hey, when you have hiccups, do you know it? Sure. When your heart hurts, if you run too fast or your heart, don't you know it? Sure you do. Well, then you can know that you're going to go to heaven when you die if you've been born again. Well, now the answer is, another one I like is John 3:16. For God so loved you and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, when do the saved arrive in heaven? Well, that's a good question. Saved people go to heaven immediately upon death. That's saved people, not lost people. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord in 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. When we die, we go home to be the Lord. You remember the thief on the cross? Now, the one said, I don't care whether one thing or another. If you're Jesus and you're the saved others, come on off the cross and save yourself. But the other one said, listen, man, we're on here because we deserve to die. Then he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. And Jesus said, from this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he died. And God never lied to him. Hey, this thief never joined a church. He never got baptized. He never heard another sermon. But Jesus said, I'm going to take you with me to heaven. Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the last breath here is followed by the first breath of celestial air there. Does this mean that arrival is even better than survival? Absolutely yes. What awaits us there is beyond our wildest dreams. Let this comforting word dry your tears and erase your fears. Let me ask you, are you ready for heaven? Why don't you settle this question by trusting Jesus tonight? I'd be more than happy to lead you in a sinner's prayer, but I wouldn't want you to pray it unless you meant it. Now, you should have a tugging at your heart right now, and you don't understand it. Maybe your tears are coming down here. I don't understand that, you say. Well, I can tell you this. If you're on the road to hell, you're scared. You bet you are. But if you are on the road to heaven, you don't have nothing to be afraid of, because he said he'd be with you even to the end of the world. Here's a prayer that'll change your life. Kind Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll forgive my sins, because I know I'm a sinner and I've done terrible things. And precious Lord, right now I'm opening my heart and inviting you in to be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. You prayed that prayer. You get on the phone. You call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I want to thank you so much for listening. I pray that this will help you a little bit to know that this wonderful God is, oh my, what an awesome God, what a wonderful God. He loves you tonight. He knows the thing that you've been going through. He knows how your heart aches. He knows your tears, and he's concerned. Peter said, casting all your care upon me, for he careth for you. Well, friends, pray for me and my wife and our health. Our health is not the best. Pray that we'll be able to have the strength to go to these prisons and telling men and women about Jesus. And pray we'll be able to get to the Dalles next month. We just appreciate your prayers. Until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you. Real, real good.